Welcome to the What's the Truth podcast with me, your host, Jessica Hoddle. Today we're tackling lie number one, I'm not qualified. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. So I have to be honest. Before I started recording this podcast, I had already recorded a 15-minute podcast to realize that it wasn't using the right mic on my computer. Now, before I even recorded that 15-minute podcast, I started saying, why am I doing this? I'm not qualified to start this podcast. I don't feel as though I have all the knowledge. My audio doesn't sound right today. Why are you doing this? And so I kept hitting record and delete, and record and delete again. Until now, I'm coming to you with this podcast to say, just before I started, I felt unqualified. I don't have a seminary degree. I don't know all the theology, but I know the truth. And every day we get to open up the Bible and discover more of who he is, more about his character, more about his nature. And recently I've discovered, we can't look at the Bible just to feel good. We can't look at the Bible so that it can just say, who am I? We look at the Bible because we want to know who he is. Because when we know who God is, we indirectly know who we are. And so we look at the Bible as this beautiful story about who God is, sending his son Jesus, learning about Jesus. We then begin to understand who we are. And so I'm being honest that just before this podcast, I didn't feel good enough. I didn't feel qualified to be coming on here to share truth with you. But here's what I know. In the book that I'm reading called The Body Keeps the Score, a doctor said that one of the greatest sources of our pain are the lies we believe. And to that I said, amen. I wanted to shout it from the rooftops, which is why now I have this microphone to speak into your ear as you're on your way to work or walking or working out to say that what you believe to be true could most certainly be a lie from the enemy to take you off the path that God has called you to distract you more than anything else, to deceive you of the truth so that you don't get to experience his goodness. He'll distort the truth just enough to convince you that God's holding out on you. And we see that in the garden. And so I thought, let's take it a little bit deeper. I thought I'd share a little bit about my journey and my past to where I don't feel qualified because of the things that I've done, the things I've experienced, the things that I've seen. I grew up in a home where there was abuse. There was emotional abuse and there was physical abuse. Now, if you want to learn about my whole story, you can pick up my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, and I'll include the link in the show notes below. But I grew up in this home where abuse was normal. It was what I knew love to be because we don't know what we don't know. And so I thought love was neglect. I thought it was abuse. I thought it was throwing. I thought it was, all these words, and I didn't want to experience it because if that's what love was, I didn't want any part of that. And so I never heard the words of, Jess, you're doing a great job, or be so encouraged, or, there was nobody speaking into my life in my home. And so I had to find the path. I had to take care of myself. By the time I was 16, I had my first job. And at that time, I had to start taking care of myself. I finally had some money to where I could buy my own shampoo. I could buy snacks to eat. I could buy my own lunches at school now. Because if I didn't, then who was going to? And so at that age, you tend to grow up really fast. when you start buying your own supplies and food, you have to start acting like an adult at 16 years of age or even younger. And then I began to understand, and I had to begin to understand to find my own way in this world, because I knew that what I saw isn't what I wanted. And I made these promises to myself that I was never going to be this way. And so I couldn't do much independently until I was 18 because, well, I didn't have the money to get a car, and I definitely didn't have money to take the classes at the time. So once I graduated high school, my parents got a divorce and I moved in with my mom, and that continued to be a very unhealthy situation. And I knew that I was still immature and still growing, but I also had a lot of walls up because pain, and pain does that. It's our defense mechanism. It's like our mind protecting ourselves. So I was homeless there for a little while. When I say homeless, I had moved in with my best friend at the time, and I had then moved in with my cousin, and then she was just like, hey, you need to go get your first house. You can do this. So I got my first house at 21, turning 22, started my very first business at the same time, my fitness business, which I've been in for 10 years now. And I was this young 20-year-old girl finding her way in this world, turning to men for her answer, to find her identity and self-worth, making all kinds of mistakes, as many probably as she possibly could, trying to find what my heart and my soul just so desperately craved, which was to feel significant, seen, and heard. So at the age of 21, my cousin had introduced me to who Jesus was, who God was, and I accepted him into my life. So why am I sharing with you this little cliff note version of my life? It's to give you this little sneak peek into nobody's life is perfect, but we all have a choice how we get to move forward, what we choose to believe in, who we choose to believe in, because does my past make me any less qualified to do God's work today? Does my past mistakes and pains and sins disqualify me today from doing the things that He has called me to do, to the things that He has called me to set other women free from? Absolutely not. Because here's the truth, my friends, is that we don't qualify ourselves. See, I spent my 20s searching for something and someone to say, good job, Jess. Good job. I thought if I heard that good job, then it was going to be like, oh, I finally did it. They finally see that I'm capable and that I'm smart and that I can do all the things. And so I filled my schedule. I had a fitness studio in my basement. I taught classes at a college, fitness classes. I was a fitness instructor. I was personal training. And so I did all the things so that I could say and wear a really big badge, here's all the things that I did. And really, I was trying to prove to myself that I was qualified to do what He had called me to do, because for so long, I didn't believe I was worth it. Now, can I strengthen my skills? Can I learn? Can I grow in my gifts? Absolutely. It's what we do when we mature, especially mature in Christ and mature in our spirituality and in step with the Spirit. But my works in my past, they don't qualify me at all. And so if you're just thinking and trying to prove yourself to be worthy, and you're striving for these results to feel qualified so that that boss can see you, so that other moms can see that you're the best mom out there, and so you're doing all the things to be that best mom, sometimes we're really just trying to prove to ourselves that we're good enough and that we're qualified. And that we're hoping that maybe somebody else will come along to say the same things to us. My works or my mistakes don't qualify me or disqualify me. Romans 11:29 says, for God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. So what you do or don't do doesn't mean that he's going to take things away from you that he's already placed on your life. He's not waiting for you to mess up so he can like send a lightning bolt down and just destroy you. And so it's hard to go boldly before God if we believe he's the punisher. If we believe that we're too far gone. If we believe that what we've done disqualifies us because, oh, we messed up. Or maybe you're on the path and you're feeling really good and you're like, okay, I'm doing the things that he's finally called me to do, and then you mess up. My friend, that still doesn't disqualify you. That just means you messed up. And now you get this opportunity to come into repentance and come before the Father and get real. But the enemy likes to convince us, hey, look what you did. You're too far gone. He doesn't love you. Or how could he do this if he loved you? Deceit is one of the biggest tactics from the enemy. How can he deceive you? How can he manipulate God's truth just enough to where we can live a less than an abundant life? Because the enemy's not out to just, you know, kill your body in a sense. He's out to take the word from you so that you have no truth to stand on. And so that you're constantly being tossed to and fro and all about. Yes, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he wants to take that word, that seed that has been planted in your heart, and he wants it to grow weeds. Not fruit, not a harvest. He wants it to grow a lot of weeds. And so what's the truth? Well, first, we know the lie. We know that we believe this lie that I'm not qualified. And this is something that we so subconsciously believe. And then we continue to play this out in our future situations. We begin to play this out in our future conversations and our choices. And so we believe the lie that I'm not qualified. I'm not doing this. I don't feel good enough to do this. I'm not worthy. And again, as soon as we put ourselves into the equation, we miss the point. The Bible is not just opening up and saying, God, tell me who I am. It's God, I'm going to open this Bible so I know who you are. So the truth then we get to sit on today is this. You, my friend, are more than qualified to be the mom, the wife, the best friend, the sister, all the things that he has placed in your life right now, you are fully equipped to handle and to manage. Even if it doesn't feel like it, doesn't mean it's true. We get to take how we feel and bring it before the Lord, just like David did. So we get to be honest, and we get to be true to what we feel in the moment. But again, we do not have to let our feelings tell us who we are. I mean, I was a 2-time college dropout. I'm surrounded by amazing people in my life that all have college degrees that are extremely smart. And I often wonder, well, what did I do wrong? And the more I focus on my qualification, the less I see God's goodness in my life. Because I disqualify the path I'm on now. But I'm so thankful for the path that I'm on now. I'm thankful for the things I've gone through. It's taught me so much. Because this is a story that God gets to tell that the enemy tried to steal. And so stand on that truth with me today. That it's not about your qualification or what you do. But that you are right now equipped for the roles that you're in and capable of pointing others to Jesus. Again, in Romans 11, 29, for God's gift and his call are irrevocable. You messing up is not going to make him take it away. He's given them to you. And now you get the good pleasure of unraveling them day by day. Thanks for listening to this episode of the What's the Truth podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. Thanks for listening to this episode of the What's the Truth podcast. I'm so glad that you're here, but I don't want to miss you being here. So make sure you subscribe to the What's the Truth podcast, and I'd love to hear what truth that you're standing on today by leaving a review. Until next time, come hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle, where we can connect and continue to support and encourage each other on this journey to uncovering the lies that we believe to be true about our lives.